So the Democrat, Doug Jones, is heading to Washington after winning the special Senate election in Alabama. Last night, he celebrated his victory over the Republican Roy Moore.
We have shown not just around the state of Alabama, but we have shown the country the way that we can be unified.
That's another big defeat for President Trump, who heartily endorsed Moore, despite allegations of sexual misconduct against him. But today tried to distance himself from Moore, tweeting, "The reason I originally endorsed Luther Strange," who was Moore's Republican primary opponent, and Trump continues, "Strange's numbers went up mightily, is that Roy Moore can't win. I was right." NPR lead politics editor Domenico Montanaro is here. Domenico, what kind of infighting in the Republican Party in the White House does that reveal?
Well, I think at this point, you know, you had Steve Bannon, who is President Trump's chief strategist formerly, who had campaigned pretty hard for Roy Moore, had convinced the president that Roy Moore would win, and he didn't. So this is probably going to make President Trump rethink who he talks to, who he listens to, and probably makes him even more of a wild card than he already is.
Well, but shouldn't it also reveal, you know, if you really believe something, stick with it? And on the other hand, some might ask, was the president's endorsement part of why Moore didn't win? But exit polls showed a lot of Republicans who voted for Moore did so because they wanted to support Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think it's probably the opposite. I mean, I think that President Trump probably helped Moore more than he hurt him, for sure. I mean, I think that President Trump is somebody with a generally pretty high standing in Alabama, although the exit polls showed a split in Alabama on how they view President Trump. But he's somebody who won 60% of the vote plus in the state and would probably do so again if he ran. Mm-hmm. Roy Moore has been a historically bad candidate in the state. He only won his chief justice race in 2012 by 4 percentage points when Mitt Romney won by a whole lot more. There were 200,000 Republicans who didn't vote for Roy Moore who did vote for Mitt Romney. And Romney had actually gotten fewer votes than John McCain in 2008. So Moore, not a great candidate. Trump probably helped him. But at the same time, the parallels between Trump and Moore are absolutely undeniable and certainly fired up a lot of Democrats in the state who might not have been fired up in the 2016 election in the same way. You had a lot of black Democrats in particular who felt like they had an obligation to go out and vote, and they did so.
Historical African-American turnout. They called it the woke vote. Activists did, got out and did that. What else? Just before we leave from that, what else do you think was made the difference?
Well, one thing that I wanted to pay attention to pretty closely was whether or not Doug Jones got any Republican crossover, because 30% of the electorate last night was African-American, which is roughly similar to what President Obama got, although more than what President Obama got in 2008 when Obama got the most votes of any Democrat in state history. But still, Obama lost by 21 points. Mm-hmm. So there had to be some crossover Republicans. Well, Jones didn't get crossovers that much of them anyway. He got 8%, which was somewhat significant. But what was really the big number, we've seen nationally a lot of independents have now started to identify – well, a lot of people who are formerly Republican are identifying as independents. And that may have been the case in Alabama because Jones won independents last night by 8 points. Mm-hmm. But in 2012, the last time we had exit polling from the state, Mitt Romney won them by 52 points.
Yeah.
So that's a 60-point shift over the last several years.
Okay. Part of President Trump's plea for people to vote for Moore was that the Republicans needed this guy, as he said, to make the Make America Great Again agenda work. And he was referring specifically to the new tax plan. Today we're hearing that House and Senate Republican leaders have reconciled in principle their two tax plans. The Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, is asking that they wait on a vote until Doug Jones is seated. Is that likely to happen?
I'd say fat chance of it happening. And the reason I say that, even though we could talk about all the ironies here, the fact is, you know, when you look back at when Scott Brown won, Harry Reid came out, the majority leader, and said at that time that we're going to wait until the new senator arrives before we do anything more on health care. So Democrats delayed doing anything more on health care. I don't think that's what's going to happen with Mitch McConnell because the window is so narrow for them to pass the tax bill that if they were to wait any further, they probably wouldn't get it through with one less vote.
Just weigh in on the spat between Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Donald Trump. She called on him to resign after, again, the allegations of sexual misconduct from different women. He tweeted that Gillibrand was a total flunky for Chuck Schumer, someone who would come to my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them, wink, wink. I mean, many saw that as a winking sexual reference today on the Today Show. She said it was a sexist smear intended to silence me. It won't. Who has this elevated?
Right. And the White House says that wasn't what his intention was, that he said similar things about—
That your mind had to be in the gutter, if you thought—
Right,
yeah.
That your mind had to be in the gutter. But he has said other suggestive things, even about men. Mitt Romney, for one, and you could go Google that if you want. But, right. The fact is here, this has probably catapulted Kirsten Gillibrand into the national spotlight in a way that she wasn't previously, mm-hmm. and is right to the front of the pack for 2020 if she wants it.
Domenico Montanaro, NPR's lead politics editor. Thank you.
You're welcome.